1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden is expected to sign an executive action at the White House later today that would shield thousands of undocumented immigrants from deportation. Here's ABC's Lena Moise.
The first new policy would apply to undocumented immigrants who have been married to U.S. citizens and have been living in the U.S. for more than 10 years, allowing them to apply for legal permanent residence without leaving the country. Another new policy, according to two officials, would streamline the process for young undocumented immigrants to apply for work visas.
In the wake of the Supreme Court ruling striking down a ban on bump stocks, Senate Democrats plan a vote today on whether the devices which turn semi-automatic weapons into nearly fully automatic ones should be legal. More than 260 million Americans bracing for temperatures of 90 or above this week, thanks to the heat dome that'll be sitting over parts of the country from the Midwest stretching to the Northeast, the hot air trapped even during the overnight hours. This is ABC News. Two shark attacks hours apart on the Florida Panhandle made national headlines earlier this month. And now local officials in coastal areas are trying to ease tourist minds.
The three people bitten off the Florida coast on June 7th were not in deep water, but
this time of year is when we see the sharks closest to the shore.
Marine scientist Dr. Sean Powers says the sharks are there because the fish they eat are there. As for the number of attacks,
it's increased a little bit over the last few years, but globally it's around 65.
Compared to the 180 million Americans who visit U.S. beaches every year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell testifying in federal court Monday. It's an antitrust class action over the NFL's Sunday Ticket TV offering. The 2.4 million residential customers and 48,000 businesses in the class say the league sold the package at an inflated price. Goodell says the NFL was clear that this is a premium product. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m., on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll kick off a new feature called Neighborhood Focus. We've teamed up with NBC 26 to bring Northeast Wisconsin to you.
Tomorrow, we'll welcome Mac Hagman, their morning senior reporter. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and hot, highs in the low 90s, south winds up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, 73, slight chance of a storm. For Wednesday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, otherwise 85 are high. For Thursday, scattered storms, 78.
Currently, 66 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio joins us at 10:33 in the 11 o'clock hour, a round of the good, the bad, and please tell me that's not true. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Well, we've got another hot, sticky day on the way across the state of Wisconsin. We will have a breeze, but it's not going to give you much relief. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Tuesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Of course, we'll talk weather details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. The forecast I've got in front of me is basically the same no matter where you are in the state. It is going to be hot and sticky today. Heat indexes probably near 100 degrees, especially in the La Crosse area. Winds are going to be out of the south, gusting as much as 30 miles an hour today. But like I said, really not giving us much relief as far as the heat. Tonight will drop down to around 73 degrees. Then on Wednesday, chance of showers or thunderstorms probably in the morning into early afternoon. Temperatures tomorrow are expected to be in the mid to upper 80s, cooler along the lakeshore. Then again, more showers and thunderstorms redeveloping on Wednesday night and sticking around into our forecast on Thursday. Like I said, Stu's along with us and giving you all the weather details in just a little bit. This heat is a big concern for a lot of Wisconsin livestock owners. Not only do they have to take care of themselves, their family, their employees, but every individual animal requires a little something special when it comes to this heat. Stephanie Hoff has got a conversation with one of our Wisconsin veterinarians trying to help out with that. And it may feel like the Bahamas around Wisconsin this week, but I'll tell you what, when it comes to production agriculture in the Bahamas, it's a whole different deal. A group of students from the Fox Valley area got a chance to find out firsthand about that. A little break from the heavy loading on a Tuesday morning. Charity Seebecker's got that story on the way.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
I seem to be involved in a lot of conversations about checkoff programs, from the dairy checkoffs to our commodities of milk and beef. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And going back to that checkoff conversation, it really has boiled to the forefront of a lot of people's thought processes and wondering where that money is going and what it really does. I look at it as an investment in the future and in our marketing and getting the markets for those products out there. I've got Shane Goplin. He is part of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board. When was the corn checkoff started? The
checkoff was started in 1984. So it started off with a tenth of a cent per bushel checkoff. And in 2007, it was raised to a half a cent a bushel.
So that money is collected from the producers. Really, what is the purpose of collecting that money?
The sole purpose of the checkoff is for marketing, promotion, and education. You know, that's it's simple as that. So it's a very targeted use, but it also is very diverse in the same aspect of how the money can come back to help us out as a producer, because I'm a producer as well. You know, that's first and foremost. The goal is to get as much money into the checkoff personally as I can, meaning I want to grow as much as I can.
I've always gone back to the group aspect, and that checkoff gives the group of growers a little more power for providing that education, the marketing, and the research.
Oh, absolutely. Me as an individual producer, I'm not going to go over to Taiwan and meet with a customer about, hey, would you like to buy some dry distiller's grain for your aquaculture farm? I can't do that solely. But collectively, as you know, as a state and as a nation, you know, we pool our dollars together and we target where we spend those dollars very wisely, you know, where we can get a return on investment. You had a super interview on here a couple weeks ago with the Foreign Ag Secretary where she was talking about the MAP program. MAP stands for Market Access Program. She said that that was a 24-to-1 return on investment, you know, and that's how the checkoff dollars work as well. It comes back to us in so many different ways. We have to produce more as a producer to stay in business. The price of commodities really hasn't changed dramatically in the last, you know, you can say 40, 50 years. So if we're not going to, you know, get drastically more amount for our commodities, well, we have to find new uses. The government is not there to help find markets. You know, the government may aid, but we have to find our own markets.
You're out there promoting and getting the product to the consumers, really, in an essence, that's the major goal. But there's been some rattlings about some misconception of where these dollars are going. Can you give me a few of those highlights and tell me, you know, where they really do go from these misconceptions?
I serve District 2 for the Wisconsin Promotions Board. That's one role. But I'm also a Wisconsin Corn Grower member, you know, so Wisconsin Corn Grower is different than the Wisconsin Promotion Board. I will not go and cannot go to Washington, D.C. on behalf of the Promotion Board to lobby. No, I it's not where the dollars come from. So we're not using the grower board's budget for lobbying. We're using for promotions and export markets, finding new markets, that's promotion. That's checkoff. Growers, that's comes from membership dollars. Corn soy event, you know, that's a huge, you know, and stuff like that, but it's not used, doesn't come from checkoff dollars.
What do those checkoff dollars do a little more specifically?
Finds new uses, educates the public, and also we can go to our university. You know, we've got a meeting coming up here in a couple weeks where, you know, we get proposals from the university on, you know, hey, would you help fund this? Because maybe that's another misconception that when the university comes out with a new idea or a new way to find more nitrogen efficient use for corn or, you know, atrazine, you know, can we find new uses for that? Or, you know, that doesn't come from the university with an open checkbook saying, hey, go ahead. Yeah, spend all you want. Rodrigo, Dan Undersander, Sean Conley, Joel Auer, they're kind of household names, but we build a relationship with them too. What's going to help Wisconsin corn producers better in the long run? With variety trials, herbicide management, fertilizer control, so stuff like that.
Well, and you've talked a little bit about educating the public about where the corn goes and what it's used for. You just mentioned a whole lot of research, and those research dollars, they're kind of motivated right by the corn growers, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, who else is going to, you know, without some of the checkoff dollars going to them, water hemp, ragweed, how are we going to control them in the future? You know, we need somebody being on the forefront of saying, whoa, this is coming down the pike. How are we going to combat this issue? You know, so it's putting it back to helping us as producers. Another misconception as I think about it, checkoff dollars are only for dollar or corn sold. So if I grow corn and even sell it to my neighbor, that does not go into the checkoff. Corn silage is another one that a lot of acres go to corn silage in Wisconsin, you know, but they're also getting the benefit of the research side of it as well.
From education to research, we're going to open the big door of marketing. You've been on a few tours and worked on marketing our corn product. Where have you gone and what have you found out?
It really opened my eyes the first time I attended my first U.S. Grains Council meeting. And it's a number that will always stick with me. 95.7% of the world's population live outside of the United States. So that means that, you know, as farmers, we've been told all our lives, we got to feed the world. The world's population is going to double. Another interview you had, or that same interview, saying the world population is going to reach, I think, what they say, 10 billion by 2050, and 70% of that growth could come from Africa. So Africa's a new emerging market. Well, guess what? U.S. Grains Council, They've had an office in Tunisia for a number of years, already exploring that market. So they're at the forefront of, you know, finding new markets. Last year, I was able to go to Panama and Colombia and able to meet with customers personally, building relationships. Grains Council has actually got people working for the Wisconsin corn producer 24/7. They're working in every single time zone, whether it's China, Tunisia, India, all over. You know, so they're building relationships with them, finding new markets, finding what works for them and how we can help them. They will go to Africa and say, here's we got this dry distillers product. You know, I think it could really help you in your nutrition aspect, that. So we're trying to get ethanol that they can cook with, so it's a little bit more environmentally friendly and healthier for them.
But ethanol is making kind of some strides in the airplane and that kind of fuel. Is that coming along? There's a lot of fuel that goes through those airplanes.
It's a very big hope. It would be a very big win for both ethanol and the corn producers. Sustainable aviation fuel, or what they say, call it SAF. Yes, we're looking into the research from the beginning to end, how much energy and environmentally friendly it takes to produce a product. Sustainable aviation fuel could be a huge win. It's the next big ethanol kick that we had in 2005. Is it going to happen? I hope so. No doubt about it. Whenever we can produce our own fuel, but ethanol, I think it's a resource that we can use now, because there's been reports and studies done that the making of ethanol is actually a net positive in the energy from beginning to end for a gallon of gasoline. It takes more energy to produce gasoline than the gas expels. You know, it's another resource. And right now we've got how many thousands of acres of CO2 factories working for us in a cornfield that are only going to, you know, do better for our environment.
I think it is vitally important to realize where those checkoff dollars are going. Corn checkoff dollars, education, research, and marketing. And that was Shane Goplin. He's on the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board, but he is a Wisconsin corn producer. Getting that promotion out, marketing such a great product. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Yesterday, we reported on government warnings of foreign election interference by Russia and other actors. But after years of GOP demands for election integrity reforms, majority members of the U.S. House Appropriations Committee eliminated election security funding from the 2025 budget. Election security includes everything from protection of voters and election workers to upgrading voting machines and infrastructure to keeping domestic and foreign actors from hacking that infrastructure. The vehicle for that funding is Help America Vote Act grants, for which State's Newsroom reports $55 million was appropriated in the last funding cycle. HAVA helps states fund big-ticket items like voting machine upgrades or hardening infrastructure against attacks. The Biden administration asked for $96 million to assist states with their projects, some of which take years to complete. The request was cut to zero for the coming fiscal year. The U.S. Election Assistance Commission, charged with HAVA's oversight and providing guidance to federal, state, and local agencies to secure elections, had its funding slashed too. USA Today reports that the administration had requested $134 million for the EAC. It got just $20 million, $7 million less than the previous budget. The 2025 budget is scheduled for completion in October and has yet to be negotiated with the Senate. Learn more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt, and Civic Media's own Northeast Wisconsin reporter, Lisa Hale.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Let me slow down and think about this. If you think about all the technology that today's farms are using, have access to, just like your home, sometimes that information stream is going to get broken. That technology is going to need assistance, and that can be a pretty expensive venture. If you take a look at the average tractor today and think about all the microchips in that tractor that make it work, trying to get it repaired can get expensive fast. Mike Strands is the vice president of advocacy with the National Farmers Union, and he says having the ability to repair those things on your own is kind of critical.
For a number of years, particularly in the tech world, there's been talk about having the right to repair your own technology, whether it's the iPhone that I've got or vehicles. That's been an issue too over the years. But what's really taken a lot of interest in the last number of years is on agricultural machinery. There's a call to make sure that the two or three big tractor manufacturers who control 95% of the marketplace give farmers the opportunity to make those repairs. And that way it doesn't come at the cost of time and money that waiting for those big companies to allow repairs to occur, that doesn't become an issue for us.
Mike Strands, vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union, he says that is just one of the ways that they are trying to help farmers stay competitive, maybe being able to fix your own machinery. Today, you don't want to have to fix anything if you can possibly help it. Time for Ag Weather. Stu Muck joins us now. Yeah, this is going to be another one of those dangerous days around Wisconsin.
Yeah, the heat and humidity builds up. That heat index, the combination of heat and humidity, pushing in many places to the mid-90s. Take it easy today. Slow down a little bit. Hydrate. Lots of water. That's the name of the game today. And take some breaks when you can. I know chores have to be done. We've got to get stuff taken care of. But don't overdo it. Don't rush into it to hurry up, because that's where it get a problem. There's a front holding off to our northwest today, way back in northwest Minnesota. That's where some of the strongest weather is. Some real thunderstorms off in far northwest and the far northern edge of Minnesota, North Dakota. That activity may begin to spread into Wisconsin late today into tonight. I'll have forecast details right after this.
One of the most common questions that farmers ask is, why don't we see marketing for our dairy products in our state? Where should we be looking? Tina Peterson, director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, sheds light on how you can see your checkoff dollars at work.
Well, this is the perfect time of the year for them to ask that. In every media market across the state in June, we have over 57 dairy farm families featured on local news stations telling their dairy story and encouraging consumers to really celebrate June Dairy Month. But outside of Wisconsin is actually where we spend a majority of our efforts. We know that in Wisconsin, we appreciate our dairy farmers and our dairy products, but we really need to grow demand outside of Wisconsin. In fact, 90% of the milk in Wisconsin is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of Wisconsin. So growing those export markets, growing demand across the United States, whether it's all in Washington or down in Florida, those are the areas that we really target to make sure we're growing demand.
Visit wisconsindairy.org to learn more.
All right, let's have that forecast, too.
All right, well, we talk about mostly sunny, hot, humid weather today, brisk and breezy, but it's not going to keep it that cool. Very upper 80s, a lot of 90s. Heat index is pushing up into the 90s. The south winds 5 to 15, gusting to 30. Some shower chance building into northwest Wisconsin toward evening and overnight across the state. We still hold in the mid-70s overnight. Partly sunny. The rain chance Wednesday. I'd say Wednesday and Wednesday night, pretty easily talking quarter to half inch amounts east. Could be closer to an inch in the west. Temps still in the upper 70s to 80s and staying in those low 80s Thursday, Pam, and a scattered shower or storm may pop up again later Thursday. We're not drying out.
Yeah, that is, it's a petri dish out there this morning. You know, like you said, when you don't get cooler than the mid-70s, boy, that doesn't give those cows much of a break to rest either.
No, make sure the ventilation systems are working and the water is running.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with weather details that you need. If you've got weather observations, use our talk text line, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We're talking about the weather on impact and livestock coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with a Work Money Minute about buying versus leasing a car. Okay, I gotta say up front, I love cars. I took auto shop in high school, I worked on my own cars, I love driving stick, but I don't really get my sense of identity from the car I drive. Buying versus leasing comes down to whether having that shiny new car every few years really matters to you and if you can afford it. Leasing can make sense for middle or upper middle income people who really like having that shiny new car and can afford the mileage limits and the higher long-term costs, because it does cost more. But for the rest of us, purchasing a pre-owned vehicle that's in good shape is the most financially savvy decision that we could make about a car. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor. Radio Password with your host, John Mino.
The password is lingerie.
Jim, your first clue is from Mary. Mary says, sexy.
Is it a person?
No, it's not a person.
We can't say Mino. Lingerie.
Oh my God!
How is that possible? Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden is expected to sign an executive action at the White House later today that would shield thousands of undocumented immigrants from deportation. Here's ABC's Lena Moise.
The first new policy would apply to undocumented immigrants who have been married to U.S. citizens and have been living in the U.S. for more than 10 years, allowing them to apply for legal permanent residence without leaving the country. Another new policy, according to two officials, would streamline the process for young undocumented immigrants to apply for work visas.
In the wake of the Supreme Court ruling striking down a ban on bump stocks, Senate Democrats plan a vote today on whether the devices which turn semi-automatic weapons into nearly fully automatic ones should be legal. More than 260 million Americans bracing for temperatures of 90 or above this week, thanks to the heat dome that'll be sitting over parts of the country from the Midwest stretching to the Northeast. The hot air trapped even during the overnight hours. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Ann Jacobs, newly elected chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, has voiced her support for criticized elections administrator Megan Wolf. As Wisconsin's top election official, Wolf had been the target of criticism since the 2020 presidential election. Supporters of Donald Trump accused Wolf of election fraud, and Wisconsin Republicans failed to impeach her earlier this year. Jacobs spoke to WISN-TV's Upfront.
Megan Wolf has done an outstanding job, and the idea that we would not have her be our administrator because people believe in conspiracy theories is not how you run good government.
Both Jacobs and Wolf will oversee the presidential election in Wisconsin in November. A heat wave has rolled into Wisconsin. Temperatures are expected to be in the low 90s in some parts of the state Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, with heat indexes in the high 90s. Thunderstorms are also expected this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers released their training camp schedule. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have released their training camp schedule with 13 practices open to the public. Training camp begins Monday, July 22nd. I asked Jordan Love what he plans to do this summer as he heads back home to California.
Yeah, just keep working. I'm outside of here and getting back with my personal quarterback coach I work with, and just continuing to focus on the little details and things I want to keep working on. And, you know, each guy has their own preference and whatnot. But, I mean, I've been with my quarterback coach since sophomore year of high school, so definitely someone I'm comfortable with, and the details and footwork and things like that I need to work on. So it's good work away from here.
Baseball, the Brewers' West Coast trip is underway with games in L.A. and San Diego. About a dozen players are from there. Shortstop Willy Adames.
Yeah. A lot of guys are really excited to go back to their, you know, roots and, you know, see some family, some friends, and they're probably going to have a lot of fans. We're probably going to have to give them the tickets because they probably have so many guys there.
Last night, the Crew losing to the Angels 5-3. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh. Join us next time when our executive producer of Civic Media, our friend, our colleague, and guru of brewers, Luke Mathers, joins us for Tuesday Tangents at Lukester.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and hot, highs in the low 90s, south winds up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, 73, slight chance of a storm. For Wednesday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, otherwise 85 are high. For Thursday, scattered storms, 78.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah, you're going to really have to take extra measures to prepare yourself if you've got to be back outdoors again today. A lot of heat advisories in effect basically for the state of Wisconsin. We'll see temperatures today. That La Crosse area could get near 100. The rest of us probably upper 80s, low 90s. The winds today out of the south up to 30 miles an hour, but again, not giving us a lot of relief. We're talking more about what farmers are doing to take care of their livestock in this excessive heat. That's just around the corner. And then a little lighter side of the heat. It may feel like the Bahamas in Wisconsin, but I'll tell you what, agriculture in the Bahamas, very, very different. A group of students from the Fox Valley area got a chance to experience that firsthand. We'll hear what Charity Seebecker learned about that trip. It's all on the way. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So today is the 18th day of June. Let's see. On this day in 1815, Napoleon suffered the defeat at Waterloo. Battle of Waterloo is where he fell today on this day back in 1815. On this day in 1948, the LP record is introduced. My goodness. I wonder how many people in the audience can raise their hand and say, you either still have LPs, you played LPs. There might be a larger part of that audience that doesn't even know what they are anymore. Anyhow, the LP was introduced on this day back in 1948. Happy birthday today to country music star Blake Shelton, 48 years young, and Sir Paul McCartney. He is 82 as of this date. And now you know. We all know this heat takes its toll on both people, pets, and our livestock. Farmers are working overtime to try to make sure that they're taking care of their big milk cows, especially. Those animals generate a lot of heat and energy on their own. Then add in Wisconsin's hot, sticky, humid weather, and things get critical pretty fast. We rely on technology, but you can't supplant the people that those animals rely on. Stephanie Hoff has more.
If you're feeling uncomfortable in the summer heat, well, so are the cattle. Dr. Scott Pertzborn is one of the owners at Lodi Veterinary Clinic specializing in livestock. He says heat can be problematic for dairy and beef production, and he's got strategies to help you keep everyone cool.
Yeah, so heat is a huge deal, especially with these high-producing dairy cattle, well, with all cattle, but these high-producing dairy cattle are just working so hard, and they're generating a lot of heat just on their own. And if a cow had their say, it would be like 50 degrees all the time. That's where they would like to live, at about 50 degrees. Once it gets much over 70, they start feeling the effects of heat stress, and then when it's up at 90 degrees, they're really hurting. So in our newer freestall barns, we do are able to do a lot to help with heat stress. You can't get rid of it completely, but the things we do, one is obviously they're in a shaded environment. A lot of places we're using sprinklers to sprinkle them, and then we're using a lot of fans. So by getting their skin wet and then blowing it off, having it evaporate, that's really an effective way of cooling a cow. And so we tend to think, okay, so why is heat bad for the cows? It's just a source of stress, irritating. They don't feel well. They don't lay down as much. They breathe hard, and actually they can go into a respiratory acidosis, so their blood is an acid pH more than you would like it to be, and that can have an effect on their feet. They're standing more, and so you can have foot problems related to heat stress. Also, they're not at the bunk eating either. They're just hanging out. They tend to bunch up as a stress response. So very negative for milk production, but also very negative for reproduction. We just traditionally have had a big dip in the summer months with reproduction and milk production, but we've really improved a lot with fighting against it with these things that with the sprinklers and the fans.
A lot of the solutions when it comes to cow comfort have to do with the modern dairy barns with the ventilation, yep, the fans, yep, but that's not what all of Wisconsin agriculture looks like. We've got cattle on pasture. We've still got that old, yep, red barn that our, right, cows are being milked, right, in. So what other solutions are there for folks who have more of the traditional style dairies or beef cattle, yep, operations?
So our tie stall or stanchion barns, you know, we've got that tunnel ventilation system. It's been very effective over the years. You're moving a lot of air over their backs. Pay attention to that you're getting air moved across their faces and not just behind them where the people are standing. And then it gets the cattle out on pasture, you know, a nice shady, you know, you'd like a shady spot where the breeze can get to them. Maybe a hilltop would be very nice and not a lot of brushy area where the flies are more comfortable and all the bugs can gather around them. So, I mean, obviously it's hard to sprinkle your beef herd when they're out on pasture. I guess not overcrowding, try to keep them out of the mud. A nice shaded hilltop is a great area. I've even seen some people grazing feeder steers on pasture have a portable shade. This is like a rotational grazing system. They'll have this portable shade on wheels that they go from pen to pen with and think, boy, that looks like a pretty good idea.
Take advantage of some of the technology that's out there to keep your dairy or beef operation productive and profitable. That's the advice from Dr. Scott Pertzborn. He's one of the owners at the Lodi Veterinary Clinic. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health. The only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Well, this heat may be what the doctor ordered when it comes to our corn and soybean fields. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows across the state, 69% of our corn rated good to excellent by farmers, 67% of our soybeans called good to excellent. Both those ratings are lower than they were just a week ago. Potatoes look really good. 93% of that crop called good to excellent. Pasture conditions have definitely perked up if you can manage through the mud. Alfalfa, that has been a challenge. First cutting of alfalfa, 78% complete. Farmers not very happy with the way the crop looks. 73% of that first cutting called good to excellent. That's down 6 percentage points in 1 week's time. In overnight electronic trade in Chicago this morning, our markets are holding pretty firm. Right now, we've got December corn that's currently trading up, a quarter of a cent, 463. November soybeans, they're up a half a cent at 1130. July wheat now down 6.5 at 585. In the dairy trade yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese actually dropped 2 cents to $2 even. 40-pound block cheese was down 5.5 at 191.5, while AA butter gained another penny and three quarters to 310 and three quarters per pound. The July class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning down a dime, 2007. The August class 3 milk down 6 at 2066 a hundredweight. Let me know how you're dealing with the heat out there. Go ahead, use our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Also want to remind you, it gets busy at this time of the year. If you want to make sure you're not missing anything relative to where your food comes from and farming in Wisconsin, then sign up for our daily e-newsletter. Go to MidwestFarmReport.com and you'll be able to sign up right as soon as you hit the homepage, MidwestFarmReport.com. Up next, it feels like the Bahamas in Wisconsin. A group of students from the Fox Valley got a chance to experience Bahamas agriculture. That's next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Poison's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crudy going to Racine to meet the front row Joes at the Trump rally. You better tune in. New friends and you, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Many that we're complaining about here in Wisconsin, a lot of folks around the world live with that on a regular basis. And let's face it, when January rolls around in Wisconsin, you're looking for that heat and humidity. Well, a group of students from the Fox Valley found heat and humidity in the Bahamas. But as Charity Seebecker reports this morning, they weren't there for rest and relaxation.
Picture this, a group of students from Wisconsin traveling to the sun-soaked shores of the Bahamas. Not for a vacation, though, but instead to delve into the unique world of tropical agriculture. This past January, Fox Valley Technical College hosted a study abroad program to introduce students to the vibrant agriculture landscape of the Bahamas. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Sarah Mills Lloyd is the department chair for the Horticulture, Farm Operations, Farm Business Production Management, and Agriculture Automation, and was also one of the faculty leads for the trip. She says it was a wonderful opportunity for students to learn how culture can shape agriculture in different areas of the world.
So the study abroad to the Bahamas was a unique program. It was an intra-departmental program. So it was between agriculture and natural resources. So we had students from both programs participating in the program. And with that, it was unique in the sense for them to understand there is agriculture in the Bahamas. And when you think of agriculture in the Bahamas, you go to vacations first. But really, if you think about it, a small island, what happens on a small island? Small production. Agriculture. So small ruminants, we're talking pineapple, we're talking fish, we're talking stone crab. So the ocean being right there, they get a lot of agriculture from that aspect. And thinking about the Bahamas in general, they import over 90% of their food. So they have to think, how can they sustainably do it? And thinking about their soil, not like Wisconsin. Wisconsin soil provides a lot of productive agriculture, but unlike the Bahamas, it is really stone. It's coral when you think about it. So with coral, you're going to have to do a different aspect of farming.
So you kind of touched on those different types of agriculture that are prevalent in the Bahamas, but take me through some of that hands-on learning experience or just interactions that the students got with those local farmers and just experiencing agriculture on a whole new level.
Yeah, so we were able to do a lot of different trips and within the program itself. So we went to a small-scale production where he had both small ruminants, so goats, a lot of goats, and also then apple trees and vegetables. And so he was able to do value-added agriculture. So on the weekends when there was more population, that then he could then do a restaurant within that restaurant, then he would be able to use his products that he grew on his farm and showcase that to the students, and understanding that there's a whole different aspect as you look at it for agriculture and how we do value added for them. We also went to a small scale production farm where they had fruit and more vegetables and very unique ones to that area in, you know, thinking their climate. So we got to taste and see how they grow those different pieces of fruits, and it's very unique when you talk about that structure of that fruit, which we don't get to experience here. But even though there's a lot of similarities and we don't realize that, because they might call it something different, we call it something different here. So the uniqueness between the plant itself of saying we would call it probably a sour fruit versus they would call it something different. So, I mean, it's something that then we understand cultural aspects of that. When you think Bahamas, you think agriculture, small scale, small ruminants is something that they got to do, small scale farm operations, fruit and produce, as we look at it, and just their need to look at sustainability in general, not just understanding how small scale can they do that, but then also looking at what can they do to continue that tradition, because how they view their farmland is very different than how we view our farmland. And that was a unique question that they got to understand and learn, because it's generational farmland that they have also there. But whether or not they use it for production agriculture, that's entirely up to that generation, whether or not they want to do that.
Take me other examples, just how it does really compare to what we have here in Wisconsin, whether that's some of just how the students were able to, you know, really understand agriculture, that cultural exchange, and just learn and be able to bring that back home now to them.
Yeah, so they were able to do some unique comparisons between agriculture in Wisconsin and what Bahamas. So still looking at small scale production, regardless of how you look at it, they still have production agriculture in the Bahamas like we do. Sand and the coral that they have of quote unquote their soil. It's very unique for them to be able to describe and understand how can we utilize that. So they talk about pothole farming. So they actually dig down into that coral, then add and amend soil into that so that then they can grow in those potholes. Thinking then that the ocean is right on all sides of them. So then they can utilize the resources that come from there in a different aspect of agriculture. And so students were able to do that. Part of the trip was actually to go on an island school, it's called. And that island school then taught them about coral reefs and taught them about all the ecosystems and the mangroves and understanding how we have to really sustain that and what it really looks like for them on the agriculture side of having that aqua to really generate their food source from.
And what was some of the feedback from these students on this trip? What were maybe some funny moments, the thing that stuck out to them that they learned the most? Kind of give me their perspective of this trip.
So for them, I mean, a lot of them either had not traveled in general. So this was unique for them that they actually boarded a plane and got to go somewhere in a destination that was international. So, I mean, we had various aspects of different students that they traveled or they didn't travel, either internationally or not. So that was a whole unique experience to it. It was also during the time in January when we had some snowstorms. So they also got to experience all the ebb and flow that happens within transport when things come to a direct standstill because of a snowstorm. So that led to some very unique times within an airport, which it's called adaptability and flexibility. So that's part of learning. That's also part of just being an employee and learning those skills. And so those were some fun things that we can come back and as a group look at for them. But, you know, for the most part, they were really drawn to the cultural differences. So, I mean, you don't think that it's that big when you are that close to an island from the United States. But as you look at it, it's still a cultural difference. It's different than what they saw. The words, the language, how they spoke, how they dressed. I mean, all those different things come into play. And for them to have that understanding, we're unique but we're very alike in many different things.
That was Sarah Mills Lloyd, the department chair for horticulture, farm operations, farm business, production management, and agriculture automation, along with us. She added that the upcoming study abroad to Costa Rica isn't just for students. Interested community members are encouraged to apply as well. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Advice for preventing tick-borne disease problems today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Summertime is tick time in many parts of the country, and we're sharing some advice for how to protect yourself and your livestock from disease-carrying ticks. Karen Cox is an extension agent with West Virginia University.
If you have pets or livestock, you need to be talking to your veterinarian about which tick prevention devices are best for your situation. Also, tick prevention practices include keeping your grass and weeds trimmed, clearing away random brush, and that can apply for yards as well as pasture fields.
Cox says if you've been exposed to tick habitat, be sure to look thoroughly for ticks once you're back indoors. And for those that carry Lyme disease, you don't want to wait long to check.
It's the little guys, the ones that are the size of a pinhead or a poppy seed, that are the most common ones to transfer the disease because people don't notice that they are attached until they've been on for their full feeding time and have transmitted the disease.
Cox shares another tip for preventing tick problems.
If you are wearing sunscreen and insect repellent, you cannot put them on at the same time or they will counteract each other and neither will work.
She suggests you put on sunscreen an hour before you apply a tick repellent. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday, join me and my good friend Sandy Williams for our regular conversation. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Mino and the Mayor.
We are here to talk about something very near and dear to our heart, and that's housing for veterans. And this is Gail.
It's gone to the city council before. Wanted you to tweak some things. You did that, and it came up last night for a final vote. And
we got the vote.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing. We had so many people speak on our behalf.
Fantastic. Could not be happier.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever they, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Executive action on...